Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It's interesting that God pointed me to this scripture just as we were worshiping today. For those that were at the funeral for Shiloh on Friday, you understood that sevens mean a lot of things to them. And no coincidence that God puts us here today. Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Father, I pray today that this verse, these scriptures will come alive to us, Lord God, and that you would breathe in us breath of life. Father, it's a great thing to serve you. It's a fantastic thing to walk with you and to have you as our companion. And Father, we are a needy and lost people. Without you, we have to be desperate for you. God, I pray today that you speak through this message, Lord God, let it be your words today. And Father, I pray that you encourage us through your word in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So simple a command that Jesus gives us in Matthew 7 is to ask and to seek and to knock. Yet it's so difficult for us when we consider how much it requires of us to give over to God the control once we do. I believe today there are desperate people in our congregation that need things from God. Are you needy this morning? I need God. I need His presence. I need His Holy Spirit. I need the power of Jesus Christ to flow in me and through me. And without Him, I am nothing. And we need to come to the place where we say that in our heart and we mean it, because God knows it's true that we need Him. Paul said, in Him I live and I move and I have my being. Is that how desperate you are for Jesus today? Jesus is crying out to us this morning, will you ask of me? Will you seek for me? Will you knock to find me? And yet how stubborn we are sometimes when we do everything else that we think physically possible, and then at the last resort we say, okay, God, I guess nothing else is working. I guess I better try you. I want to confess to you that that happened this week. My wife, Delphine, had a very sore hip. She couldn't walk. She couldn't do anything. And so she began to tell me about all the problems we had. So I said, hey, I suppose you're missing an injection. And she was. And so we kind of justified it by that. And so I said, have you taken anything, any oils? Yeah, I'm going to try it now. And so she tried it. It didn't help. Have you tried ibuprofen or acetaminophen? Yeah, but nothing's helping. And you think by this time I would have gotten through my thick skull that God was saying, why don't you try me? Why don't you see what I have to give if you ask? But how stubborn I was, and it took till 2 o'clock in the morning before I finally decided to lay hands on my wife and say, Jesus, enough is enough. Get rid of the pain and take it from her in Jesus' name. And we slept. I could have gotten such a great night's sleep that night had I just followed what Jesus says in Matthew 7. Now, if you go back into the original Greek with that verse, it's a perfect verb, which means in Greek that it's a constant verb. It means in part, if we were to kind of put it back in English, we'd say, ask and keep on asking. Keep and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. How many of you have asked once and gotten discouraged and quit asking God? How many of you have sought God once for something and gotten discouraged when you didn't get the answer that you thought you wanted, and so you gave up on God and said, well, God, that's not working for me. I wonder what I'm missing. And you know, right away the enemy comes in and he says, yeah, you're such a lousy person, you pray and nothing happens. Can anybody witness to that? He is a sly and devious enemy, that devil. And he will come in when we're our weakest, when we're our most vulnerable. We don't even know it. The text this morning was supposed to be Proverbs chapter 12, or chapter 16, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Maybe we'll do it next week. But it says this: pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And you know, when we become proud in ourselves and we want to be right about something, it doesn't matter who we're going against, it doesn't matter what the argument's about, we want to be right about it, and we'll fight to get our rightness. But very seldom are we righteous and right at the same time. And I'll talk to you for just a moment just to get away from asking, and I'll say this: when you are right about something, somebody else has to be wrong. Am I right? I mean, am I correct? And if somebody else is wrong, that means they're bad and you're good. So you have judged them, and you judge their decision based upon what? Your own truth. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that any fool can start a fight, but a wise man holds back his lips. If you are given to temper, and if you are given to outbursts of anger, I'll tell you that you're a foolish man or woman. Because the Bible tells us that a wise man or woman can hold their peace, hold their tongue. And it's not just once in Proverbs. If you read Proverbs, you'll find out it's many places in there where it says that hatred and anger are a foolish thing. But when we go to God, we somehow get silent before God. We don't want to be right before God. We don't want to be like Job and try and defend ourselves and say, what's happened? What did I do wrong? So we don't go to God at all. And we don't pray. We don't ask Him for anything. We don't seek for anything. And I'll tell you why. It's because we're not humble enough to admit that we might be the one in error. Many of you here have been in situations where you've had to go to somebody and ask forgiveness. There may be some of you in this place that need to go ask somebody for forgiveness. But one thing I do know for sure is that when you do allow forgiveness to flow, it flows on your behalf and for you and not for the other person. And it's amazing how that hardness of heart can happen because we think we have to be right and we're not going to ask forgiveness or to say we're sorry. And maybe that's the reason why we don't go to Jesus. We don't keep asking. We don't keep seeking. We really don't want to tell Jesus we're sorry. And guess what? If we can't tell each other that we're sorry in this place, we're never going to tell God we're sorry. If you can't love a brother who you can see, how can you love a God that you cannot see? If you can't be amiable and pleasant and peaceful with those that you have around you, how can you be at peace with God? And when Jesus is crying out here, ask, seek, and knock, He's not just asking us to do these things. He's saying, get your heart in a position so you can ask, so you can seek, so you can knock. And I believe in the day that we live in, there is no firmer belief I have in my heart than we are a prideful and a haughty people. We're about our own truth, we're about our own agenda, and nobody better diss us and nobody better disagree with us because we have rights and we have an opinion. And I'll tell you, it means absolutely nothing with God. Now, once in my Bible does it ever tell me that God ever asks my opinion about anything. Does anybody else know a verse? God says, I am that I am. That should be good enough for me. And God never asks us our opinion about anything in the Word. Why do we think we have an opinion that really matters in the long run. Amen. But yet it separates us, and it separates us from God. Why? Because we think we have an opinion how God should meet our needs. We think we have an opinion on what God should do for us. We have an opinion on how God should restore things and how God should work out situations in our life. We've never once considered that God never asked us what we thought. And that's why we don't receive. That's why when we ask, we don't receive. And we seek and we knock, we don't receive. Why? Because we've already told God what we want a lot of times. I'm not saying every time. I've had times where I've just surrendered to God and I've just said, God, I can't do this without you. I'm surrendering my agenda and my will and whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And that lasts about 10 minutes. Then I go back to thinking how I can help God with the situation. You're laughing because you're identifying with me, right? Amen. I have been so foolish in my walk with God that I ask Him, I seek Him, and I knock for Him, and I make that last 10 minutes. I went, well, you know what? God didn't answer me in this 10 minutes. He must want me to do this all by myself. Hogwash. Hogwash. And if you look that word up, it means whatever you wash the hogs with. It's nothing. It's dirty. It's filthy. It doesn't belong with God, and it doesn't belong in God's presence. And for us to assume that we understand what God wants is for us to put ourselves in the position of God. And He never once asked us. Proverbs chapter 26 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter." Why? So that we would come and ask Him. I'm going to ask you this question today. How many of you are here today and you have something in your life that you need God to answer for you? Just raise your hand. Leave them up. You have something in your life that you need God to give you an answer for. Both hands, if you got more than one. I can lift up both hands. How many of you guys can lift both hands and say, "Yes, Lord, I need something. I need it from you." Amen, amen. Now, I want you to leave them up, and I want you to turn your hands, and I want you to look at them. What's in your hands? Nothing. Ah, light bulb. What can you offer God? Nothing. When you come to Him and ask Him for something, what does He want from you? Nothing. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour His riches out on you. He wants to anoint you and to give you power. And He wants to do so without you giving Him anything. Wow. And God does it because He loves us. He is a good God. He is a good God. You know, on Friday, I got the opportunity to preach at a funeral for Shiloh Schwartz, and Tim and Sierra picked out a verse asking if I would preach on that verse, and I never promised anything to anybody with what I preach, but I said, well, I'll consider the verse, and it was Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "For all things work to good for them that love God, for that He called according to His purpose." As I began to kind of ruminate over that, I didn't exactly know what God had planned, but He formulated a message for Friday that was really, it was about Him being good and Him working out everything for good. And how even there are qualities about God that we just don't understand about Him, that if we did understand, it'd be a lot easier for us to look at verse 28 in Romans in chapter 8 and say, yes, God works everything out for good. And I was walking home, or not walking home, that was been a cold day to walk home. I was driving home from the funeral that Friday. And I began to ask God, what did I miss? And I humbled myself before God because I said, Lord, not one time during that service did I ever want anything to go to me. I wanted it all to go to Him. But yet when I was going home, I felt so right about it, and God knocked me to my knees again and said, it was never about you in the first place. God began to touch my heart as I drove home from that place. And to be honest, I don't remember much of the trip home, so I praise God for His safety. But I remember myself thinking, When did I ever think that my opinion mattered with God? That as He worked out everything good, all He ever asks me to do is to ask Him, to seek for Him and to knock. And I was sitting at the piano this morning, God said, you know, you have a great message for today. It's not for today. It's something different today. But I want to challenge you because God wants you to leave differently than when you came. And He wants you to have a heart that seeks after Him. So many people, I'm not saying the people in this church, but so many people want to do things their own way and do things and think God will bless it if they do it their own way and justify their own sin. And God never once justifies sin that we can have it our way. We don't serve God in a Burger King mentality. God is the awesome God. Far be it from me to ever ask God, is my opinion important to you? Or don't you understand, God, what I'm going through? Oh, Lord, help me. Help me. That when I get that feeling of adequacy and that feeling of purpose and worth, that I forget that God is the one who gives me life and gives me breath. Amen. And we get so bitter against God because we ask with all the wrong reasons. I'm not even going to go into James. We could spend a half an hour in James about the reasons why we ask. But I want to ask you this morning, would you strive with me today to have a heart that asks God for the things you need. For a heart that seeks after Him for the things you need. For a heart that knocks. That God would open up the door of His wisdom, His knowledge, and His provision, His protection, and His purpose for you. And to get off your own agenda. You know, in God's eyes, there's not one of us that's very bright. Thank you. He doesn't call us sunny in the Bible. Because compared to God, even our wisdom is as foolishness to Him. And in our best day, our wisdom means nothing to God. And so God is saying this morning to us as a church, will you get off your agendas and get back on your knees and ask Me? Will you get off your own purposes and your own desires and wants? Will you quit beating each other up and finally go to Me and ask Me, how do you want Me, Lord, to do this thing? How do you want Me to fulfill Your will? How do you want Me to restore and to bring peace? And how do you want Me to be powerful in Your presence? How do you want Me to manifest Yourself through me? Because God never once asked our opinion. You know, confession is good for the soul. And I'm not going to ask you to confess these things to me, whatever it might be that you've been holding back, your anger, your bitterness, your hatred, maybe you've got something else going on in your life you've been holding back from God. Maybe you've got a habit that you know you're supposed to get rid of that God's asking you to get rid of and you're not doing it. You're justifying it, saying, I'm okay with it. Whatever the case may be this morning, I'm just going to ask you to confess that to God because He knows it anyway. You're never going to go to God in prayer and surprise Him with what you say. But we think we are. We think we're going to shock God by what we say to Him. It ain't going to happen that way, folks. God has been waiting for you to bring that up to Him so He can say, let's deal with this together. And I'm not your example this morning. Don't put me on a pedestal thinking if I just had it all together like Pastor Al. Pastor Al is a miserable mess sometimes. I'm in this with you. I'm in this with you. You're just as special in God's eyes as I am. Because God says that He gives everybody the opportunity to become the sons of God. There's no second-class citizens, and God asks us all to ask. You could ask me to pray with you, but you know what? God would rather you go to Him yourself and bare your heart before him and say, God, I am feeling this way. I'm feeling hurt right now, God. I'm feeling frustrated with myself. I'm feeling frustrated with my Christian walk. I'm feeling frustrated that I'm angry all the time, or that I'm bitter towards you, that I have hatred in my heart. I'm bitter that I have lust in my heart. I'm bitter that I have this habit, this addiction that I want to get rid of. Whatever the case is, be candid with God. He already knows. Don't hide it from him. It's the very place he wants you to go with him. And then comes alive the scripture that says, whom the Son sets free is
free indeed.
But you realize at that moment that it isn't you that sets you free. It's Jesus that sets you free. Hey, listen, we all have hang-ups. We all have areas in our life we wish we could live better for God. We all have things in our life that we wish that we could be more loving, more proficient with God. And you know what? For each one of us, it's different. I get that. But God is big, and he's powerful, and he's awesome. And he wouldn't mind if all of us that are here this morning all at once went to him and asked him to forgive us and asked him to work with us, because he's got enough of him to go around for all of us.
Yes,
and more. You're not going to have to wait in line with God. There's no taking a number with him. He's waiting for you. What's he waiting for? Let's go back to our text this morning. He's waiting for you to ask. He's waiting for you to seek. And he's waiting for you to knock. And he doesn't expect you to give up until he answers you. Don't give up. This fight is way too worth it for us. This battle we fight, it may seem like the end of our lives, but it's so small in comparison to eternity. God says, don't give up. Don't stop fighting. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop asking. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop doing this. Why? Because when we're persistent with God, we don't know what we're fighting against between us and God that might be holding back an answer. But God says, if you keep on, I will answer. He goes on in that text in chapter 7 of Matthew to say, you know, if you're a good father and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Heavenly Father want to give the Holy Spirit and the good things to them that ask? We serve a perfect Heavenly Father, one who is worthy of all of our praise. And I'm thankful we don't have to do anything to deserve it. Let's bow our heads for a moment this morning, shall we? You know, I've been hearing this message for asking, seeking, and knocking probably many, many times during our life. I know I have. But yet, it's something that's so important to God. It's so important to him that we ask. It's so important to him that we seek. It's so important to him that we knock. In just a moment, I'm going to ask for anybody who wants to come up and they just want to come to the altar and they just want to bring something before God. I am not going to ask you what that thing is. But by you taking a step of faith this morning and coming to the altar, we're going to close our service in a little different way today. The Bible says today is the day and now is the time for salvation, for saving, for setting it free, for giving it with God and not taking it back. And I want to give you opportunity to take a step of faith this morning and to come to the altar. If you're the first one here, I want you to come right to the front because I know more people are coming behind you. But right now, as Bonnie begins to play, I want you to come up.